Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Ches. All the dafim are good. Today's daf is a lot of fun also. Today we're going to learn about three basic topics. We're going to discuss how many meals a person is supposed to eat on Shabbos, a lot about Suda Shabbos, what the source is for the requirement of three meals on Shabbos or four meals, depending on which sheet you hold like. And the Gemara is going to discuss how many meals a poor person gets from tzedakah in that context and how to receive how much funds he should receive for meals. The Gemara then goes into the great reward that a person who's careful about eating three Shabbos meals and a person who is ma'aneg Shabbos, a person who enjoys Shabbos properly, will receive. And then the daf concludes with a whole bunch of statements of Rabbi Yossi, where he says, Yehei Chelki, that my portion should be with those who do certain activities, and a lot of other personal practices of Rabbi Yossi, things that Rabbi Yossi did particularly well. So we left off, I believe, at Omar Rav Chista, the fourth medium-sized line on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Omar Rav Chista, L'olam Yashkem Adam L'Otzal Shabbos. Person should always wake up early to go spend money for Shabbos. Shenemar, V'ayah B'yom HaShishi V'yichinu Asa Sharyaviyu Li'alter, that on the sixth day, on Erev Shabbos, we should be preparing that which V'yichinu Asa Sharyaviyu is about the mun, but we should always be preparing for the Shabbos, and we understand that means Li'alter, that right away, as Rashi points out, B'shas Hava Hachana V'Hava B'Hashkamehi D'chsiv V'yilkatu Asa B'Boker B'Boker. We know that they picked the mun, they took the mun in the morning, and so we learn from there that at the time of the bringing in of the mun, very early in the morning, that's when we're supposed to do hachanos for Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Siman Pei Tes, when it discusses how we behave each and every morning, Shulchan Aruch says that it's also l'sasik b'tzrachav ad she'ispal tefilah shmoneh esrei, that prior to davening, a person is not supposed to do any of his tzrachim, any of his personal needs, shouldn't take care of before davening. This is based on the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yudal and Amar Aleph, Amar Rav Idi Bar Rav and Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yashian, Asulo Ladam Lasus Chafatzav Kodem She'ispalo, Shnemer Tzedek L'fan of Yalech V'yasam L'derech Pa'amav, that a person should always do daven before he does anything else that he needs to do. So in the Sefer Tefillah Kehilchasa, Perek Vav, Sif Yudches, he quotes from Rav Yashiv Zichron Levracha that a person should not go shopping, shouldn't go grocery shopping before davening, except for Erev Shabbos. Based on this Gemara, the Bir Alacha points out in Siman Reish Nun that you're supposed to be mashkim for Tzarchei Shabbos, so to get food for Erev Shabbos, that's you're allowed to do even before davening. Rav Zilberstein discusses in Chashukei Chemed, what if anyway you're already buying food, so can you buy to get? Meaning, says except for Erev Shabbos, the other exception is if you're buying for Ketanim, food for children. So the children need to go to yeshiva on time, and there's no milk in the house, and you need to go buy the milk so they can have their cereal or whatever before they go to yeshiva. So it's mistava that you should be making in that situation as well. So he raises the question, what if you're buying in a mutter way? Can you buy other things also? Can you buy other items? Let's say you're going shopping for Shabbos on Friday morning. Can you buy things that you know you're not going to need for Shabbos, that are only going to be needed for the following week, and you haven't yet davened? So Zilberstein understands that since it's not a great hassle to buy more things once you're already in the supermarket, that this would be considered one act, and therefore would not be a problem of buying more things once you're already doing it. But again, the point is, typically speaking, we're not allowed to do anything before davening, but the Tefillah Kilchasa writes B'Shem Rav Yashiv that based on this Gemara, and based on the Bir Alacha, that we are allowed to go shopping for Shabbos before davening, because there's a special kiyum of going early on Friday to go shopping for Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Abba, B'Shabbos Chayav Adam Levtzol Shtei Kikaros. On Shabbos, a person is supposed to be botzei, supposed to break his bread, make the bracha of hamotzi over two loaves. D'chsiv, because the pasuk says lachamishna. And again, all this is daf yomi coincidence. We just had the parsha Saman. We just discussed this past week's parsha. So d'chsiv lachamishna. Lachamishna tells us we should have two loaves. Amar Rav Ashi Chazina Leil Rav Kahana D'naka Tarti U'botza Chada. He said, I saw that Rav Kahana's practice was that he would hold two loaves, but he would only actually break one of them. Amar Liktu Ksiv. He says, it says Liktu that you would hold, that you should carry two loaves of bread, but nothing about nothing about actually breaking both loaves of bread, so you're not supposed to break both loaves of bread, you only break one loaf of bread. Rabbi Zeira have a bata akula sheruse. Rabbi Zeira would break akula sheruse. So says Rashi, what does akula sheruse mean? Prusa gedola. He would break off a large piece for himself. Vidailo bala osa su'uda. And he would cut off enough bread in the first slice of challah that would be enough to last him for the entire meal. And it used to be that the ikar part of their meal was bread. So it was a significant chunk of bread that he would cut off for himself straight from the challah. Well, l'kavod Shabbos, he would do this l'kavod Shabbos. V'nirakim So Rashi points out, he's showing great chavivus for Shabbos, that he's going to eat a lot by cutting off this massive amount of bread at the beginning. So Ravina says, Ravashi, but doesn't that look like he's like Rav Tanus? So it looks like he's being ravenous that he's eating so much. So No, he doesn't do this any other day except for Shabbos. So everyone's going to realize that he's doing this Shabbos. He's not doing this because he's a glutton. He's doing this because he wants to show special honor to Shabbos. That understanding of Rabbi Zeira's practice is Rashi's Shita. Rashi's Shita is shared by the Rambam. The Rambam in the 7th paragraph of Hilchos Brachos, Halacha Gimel, says on Shabbos a person should be Botzea Prusa Gedola. That's probably based on this Gemara with Rabbi Zeira. And Shulchan Aruch, Nor Chaim, Sim Reish Ayin Dalet, Sif Beis, also Mitzvah Livtzoa B'Shabbos Prusa Gedola Shetas B'Kolo L'Kol Asuda. And again, the Ramah in Simen Kuf Samach Zayin also mentions this, that we should cut off a large piece of bread at the beginning to show that we're very interested in honoring Shabbos properly by having a significant meal. However, the Rashba understands this line differently. What was the line right before Rabbi Zeira? We had the practice of Rav Kahana, who would hold two loaves of bread, but only cut one loaf of bread. And right after that we say, but Rabbi Zeira have a batza akula sherusa. Says the Rashba, what does that mean? That Rabbi Zeira would cut both loaves of bread. That when he would have Lecha Mishnah, he wouldn't just cut one loaf of bread. He would cut both loaves of bread. That's Akula Shirusa. And that's the question. Doesn't that look like Rav Tanus? Looks like he's being a glutton. No, the Gemara says it doesn't, because he only does this Litzorech Shabbos. So the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Kashuk Lover Gon, Chelek Aleph, Siman Ayin Dalet, says that's why our minhag is that when we're Mevarech, we're always Mevarech on both loaves of bread, to be mekayim at least a little bit the Shitas HaRashba, that even though we don't cut both of them, at least we hold them both up when we're mevarich, so that at least it's a little bit the Shitas HaRashba, that we have both loaves not just in front of us, but actually in our hands at the Shas HaBracha. In the Zohar is I never saw it inside actually, but the Zohar is quoted as saying that you need to have 12 breads for Shabbos. So people have a difficult time understanding what's that about. It seems that this is one of the examples of where the Kabbalah is against the Halacha. The Halacha says you have two loaves of bread. So what's this about 12 loaves of bread? There are some Chassidish Rebbes that are makbid to have 12 loaves of bread by every Shabbos meal. But the Gra explains, no, the Zohar doesn't mean 12 loaves of bread. What he means is 12 prusos, 12 half loaves, because you have three meals on Shabbos. At each meal you have Lecha Mishnah. If you hold like the Rashba, you cut both loaves in half at each meal. So if you have a total of three meals times two loaves of bread for each meal, that's six loaves of bread, and you cut each of them in half. So six times two is 12. So you can have 12 halves of bread. That's how he understands the Zohar, that the Zohar is not going against the Halacha. This is not a case of Nigla versus Nistar. It's exactly the same, that they should cut both loaves of bread. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi kimitlu lehu rifta deiruva shari lave. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, when they would have access to the loaf of bread that they used for the eruv, so they would use that for their suda as well. Amri hol v'savad b'chad mitzvah l'savad b'mitzvah achrina. They said once we already did one mitzvah with this bread, we might as well do another mitzvah with the bread. That it's always appropriate if something was used already for a mitzvah to use it again for another mitzvah. In Shar Mitzvah Ba'alachov here, he collects six examples of where we say this concept, that once you have something that's used for one mitzvah, use it for another mitzvah. The Ritva says that we say the same thing by a kikar that you already, a loaf of bread that you already made a bracha on at one suda, that you should use that same loaf of bread for another sudas mitzvah if it's still shalim. Meaning, if you, let's say, for one of the sudas of Shabbos, let's say Friday night meal, you only cut into one of the loaves of one of the challahs, so you have another challah still left from that Friday night meal, use that challah again for the Shabbos day meal. Once you already did one mitzvah with it, for the first Lach HaMishnah, use it again for the second Lach HaMishnah. Again, assuming you're not being makbid for the Shitas HaRashba to cut both loaves on Friday night. But so use that challah again for the next meal. The Tur in Or Chaim Simrei Sadizayin says that the minig is to be mevarich on the Hadas Shalulav b'motzai Shabbos. That the Bari Minei B'samim, the B'samim that we use for Avdalah Motzai Shabbos, you should use from the Hadasim of the Lulav. Because given the Savi Bechad Mitzvah, the Savi Ba Mitzvah Achriti, once you did one mitzvah with it, do another mitzvah. The Ramah in Or Chaim Sim Tafresh Samach Dalet Siftes says that the minig is to put away the Hoshanos to use for firewood to bake the matzos, to make the matzos mitzvah. Again, Kivin did the Saviba Chad Mitzvah and the Saviba Mitzvah Krita. The Chak Yaakov in Simon Taf Mem Hei quotes from the Ma'ari that you should fire up the oven with lulav. Many people have the minag that they burn the chametz with the lulav, that they use the lulav as the firewood when they're burning the chametz. Again, based on this concept, the Taz in Taf Kuf Chav Zayin, Sifkat Nyud Dalet, says in the name of Marshal that the Maram was noeg to leave over the bread from the Erev Tavshilin through Friday night and through Shabbos day to use it for Lech HaMishnah, and then finally at Shalosh Shudas he would actually eat it, meaning he would use it as the second loaf of Lech HaMishnah for each of his Shabbos meals and then eat it on at Shalosh Shudas. And again, the concept being that once he's already using it for the Erev Tavshilin, he uses it for the mitzvah as well. Magen Avraham writes also in Siman Chaf Aleph that if a person has tzitzis strings that get cut off, he should use them as a marker in a sefer. Dafka in a sefer, not in a stama book, in a sefer, because again, use something that was once used for a mitzvah for further mitzvahs. Magen Avraham also writes in Siman Taf Resh Yud Gimel, in the name of the Bach, that you should take some of the wax from the candles of the Beis HaKnesses and make Neros Chanukah out of that wax, out of the dripped wax from the candles of the Beis HaKnesses. Again, some of these things we are knowing, some of them we're not knowing, but the general concept is that when something has been used for a mitzvah and it's still usable, but that original mitzvah is no longer there, so use it again. It's always nice to use it again for another mitzvah. It's an appropriate thing to do, to use it for another mitzvah. Okay, tzad nafla d'leika, so the Mishnah went on to say that if a fire broke out on Friday night, so then you save three meals. If the fire broke out on Shabbos morning, you save two meals. And again, this whole sugya about a fire breaking out, we have to be very careful about how we present the sugya. I got a few emails about this. When a fire breaks out, halacha lemaisa, if you live, you're the only Jew in town, so it's no pikuach nefesh for other Jewish people. Should you not put out the fire, not call the fire department, and just let the fire burn because it's only money that's going to be burning? Now, the halacha lemaisa, none of this is halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, it's always pikuach nefesh. I mean, halacha lemaisa, someone's life is always going to be at risk. And you don't call the fire department and your whole city burns down, what's that going to do for the Jewish people? That's halacha le Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva in his Numen Chasasher where he shows that this is not something that is very practical at all nowadays. Halacha lemaisa, if there's a fire that breaks out, you call the fire department, because it's almost always, in any practical situation, it's almost always going to be a situation of pikuach nefesh bizman hazeh. All of these sugyas are discussing a situation that's hard to imagine, where there's no pikuach nefesh, where no, it's only going to be money. You live on, you have a moat around your castle, and therefore you know the fire's not going anywhere past there, and the castle has already been vacated, so no one's there. So that's the kind of situation. How much do you go in to save? But obviously we have to be very careful when it comes to pikuach nefesh. Okay, so Tanu Rabbanan, kama sudas chayav adam lechol b'Shabbos. How many meals does a person eat on Shabbos? We're not going to get to discuss this fully. I think tonight, maybe the Tuesday night show, we'll talk about Shalosh Shudas. So how many meals does a person eat on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Shalosh. Rabbi Chitka Omer, Arba. Rabbi Chitka says four meals on Shabbos. Amar v'yokhanim shnei mikra echa darshu. They both darshin the same pasuk. That the word Hayom appears three times. So Rabbi Chilka Sofer, Hani Tosa Hayom Levar Miurta. Rabbi Chilka says, yeah, it appears three times, because three times during the daytime of Shabbos you're supposed to have a meal, and that's aside from the Friday night meal. Where does he learn that you have to have a Friday night meal? It doesn't say anywhere about a Friday night meal. So what does he know about a Friday night meal if the three Hayoms are all about the daytime meals? How does he get that you have to have four meals? So Pashtus is the Gemara in Gittin. And Daf Lamed Ches speaks about two mishpachos chashuvos in I think it was in Yerushalayim. The Gemara talks about that one of them was very makbid to be mechabed the nighttime meal of Shabbos, and the other one the daytime meal of Shabbos. And the Gemara says that they're discussing the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, that which one is a better kiyum mitzvah of kavod and oneg of Shabbos, to emphasize the nighttime, to emphasize the daytime. So Rabbi Sachs writes in his sefer on Shabbos that in the name of the sefer Asher L'Shloma, I think it was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich, I think Rav Berman, Rav Shlomo Berman was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich. So Rabbi Sachs writes in the name of the Shel Shlomo that I think he's related to my uncle, to Julius Berman. So he writes that there are two kiyumim in Suda Shabbos. There are two psukim. There's mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. Mitzvahs oneg Shabbos is to do that which a person normally enjoys, to have a nighttime meal and a daytime meal. That's a normal thing for a person to do. And that's on Shabbos, when you do that, that's a kiyum mitzvahs oneg. And then there's a separate kiyum of Hayom, that it says Hayom three times, so you have to have three meals on Shabbos. So that's why, if the halacha is, if a person, let's say, misses his nighttime meal, so he makes it up during the daytime meal. How do you, meaning, let's say we hold, you're supposed to only have three meals on Shabbos. What if you didn't eat Friday night for some reason? So then you eat three meals during the day. But how does that mekayim the mitzvah of oneg? It's not enjoyable at all to eat three meals in such a short period of wintertime day. It's not even enjoyable to have two meals in a wintertime. So how are you mekayim the mitzvah of oneg in that way? You're not being mekayim the mitzvah of oneg. You're being mekayim the hayom that it says three times. But there's also a din of being mekayim a mitzvah oneg. So those are, and there are many nafkaminas between these two. Another nafkamina would be yantif. Yantif, there's a mitzvah oneg also, but there's no hayom. So that's why there's no shalosh shudis on yantif, but we do have to have one meal at night, one meal during the day. And yantif, if you miss your nighttime meal, you don't have to have two meals the next day, because there's only a mitzvah oneg. There's not a requirement of hayom. So anyway, Rabbi Chilka holds that these three hayoms are levar meyorta, aside from the nighttime meal. Rabbanan savri, bahadayorta. The Rabbanan hold that these three meals are including the nighttime meal. So it's one meal at night, two meals during the day. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that kavod yom, the kavod laila, kavod yomad, the Gemara in Pesachim also, that if you have the choice of which to be mechabed more, you always choose the daytime meal as the one that you are mechabed more than the nighttime meal. The Rashbam writes, kavod laila, kavod yom kodem, and therefore, mein lo yayin harbe l'su'uda, o mine magadin, yenichem ad hayom. If you have one particular dish that you really love, that you very much enjoy eating, and you could only have it at one of your Shabbos meals, better to save it for the daytime meal than to have it at the nighttime meal. Now, obviously, if you're going to have a dish that by the time the daytime meal comes around, it's not going to be as good because it's not going to be fresh, then you could have it at the nighttime meal, because there's no the net enjoyment of Shabbos should be the greatest that you could make it. But something that's going to be just as good the next day, so you should have at the daytime meal rather than the nighttime meal. That's a din of kavod yom. But this is the machlokas, how many meals a person is supposed to have on Shabbos. Three meals or four meals. So Tanan said, our Mishnah said, Nafle Dveika Belele Shabbos, Matzilin Mazon Gimel Sudos, that if a fire breaks out on Friday night, you could save three meals worth. My love to Lo Achal, aren't we talking about a case where you haven't yet eaten, and that's why you're saving three meals? Araya against Rabbi Chitka, according to Rabbi Chitka, you should be saving four meals worth. And so Gemara Lo Da'achal, we're talking about a case where you already ate. You already ate your Friday night meal, then a fire breaks out, save three more meals, Rabbi Chitka would say. Shachris Matzilin Mazon Shtei Sudos, my love to Lo Achal. Mishnah went on to say that if fire breaks out Shabbos morning, you should save two meals. Isn't it talking about where you haven't yet eaten Shabbos morning, and that's why it's two meals, because there's a total of three Shabbos meals and two during the day against Rabbi Chitka? Says Mar Lo Da'achal. No, it's talking about where you already ate your Shabbos morning meal, so there's only there's still two meals left, because Rabbi Chitka goes, there are four total meals. B'mincha Matzilin Mazon Sudachas, my love to Lo Achal. Again, a raya from the Mishnah that says by Mincha you save only one meal. Again, isn't this talking about where you haven't haven't yet eaten a second meal on Shabbos day, and therefore you only save one more meal for Shalosh Shudis against Rabbi Chitka. Lo da'ach, not so bad where you already ate a third meal and you're saving a fourth meal. But from the fact that Rabbi Yossi says, I don't care when the fire breaks out on Shabbos, you always save three meals. Sounds like that what the Tanakhama is holding is that you're supposed to be mashlim up to the number three, not the number four. That's a good proof that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Chitka. From the position of Rabbi Yossi, that the maximum number of meals you're ever going to save is three, and Rabbi Yossi holds that you always save three, we see that the Tanakhama holds that that's the number we're always striving for three meals, not for four meals. That which we learn in the Mishnah. Let's say a person has two meals worth of food. He should not take from the tamchli. He shouldn't take from the public tzedakah funds. Mazon arba esrei lo yitol min akupa. And if he has 14 meals worth of food, he shouldn't take from the long-term tzedakah funds that pay for a week's worth of food, because he already has a full week's worth of food in arba esrei sudos, in 14 sudos. Well, wait a second. According to the Rabbanon, you need three sudos on Shabbos, so you should need 15 meals a week. And according to Rabbi Chitka, you need four meals on Shabbos, you should need 16 meals a week. So why is 14 meals enough that we say you already have a week's worth of food? Money, lo Rabbanon, lo Rabbi Chitka. This Mishnah is against the Rabbanon and against Rabbi Chitka. I Rabbanon, chamsri havyan. I Rabbi Chitka, shisrei havyan. If we go like the Rabbanon, you should only need 15. If we go like you should need 15. If we go like Rabbi Chitka, you should need 16. Why do we say 14? Says the Gemara, li'olam Rabbanon. Really, we're assuming like the Rabbanon. How do we arrive at the number 14? Because we tell the person, instead of eating your meal on Motzai Shabbos, eat that Motzai Shabbos meal on Shabbos. Meaning, on Friday you have two meals, Friday morning, Friday brunch, let's say, and then Friday night after Shabbos starts, and on Saturday you have two meals, Shabbos morning, and then Shalosh Shudis before Shabbos ends, and then Sunday you have two meals, and every day you have two meals, but you're gonna squeeze three of them into the time period of Shabbos. So Leimer Rabbanan Hivel Rabbi Chitka, good. So that at least this mission then is apparently going like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Chitka, because going to Rabbi Chitka you should have another meal. So I feel Leimer Rabbi Chitka Damri Le Ma'id Debas Lemech. Now we can even say that we're going like Rabbi Chitka, but the case is where you tell him that which you wanted to eat on Friday, you should eat at nighttime as well. So wait a second. Then the guy's going to be fasting the entire day on Erev Shabbos. Elahamani Rabbi Akiva. No, what you have to say is that the mission is going like Rabbi Akiva. Really, you're supposed to have three meals on Shabbos, or maybe even four meals on Shabbos if you assume like Rabbi Chitka. But if you're Nebuch so poor that you can't afford it and you only have two meals worth on Shabbos, before you collect tzedakah funds, you have you make your Shabbos like a weekday. You eat two meals on Shabbos rather than collecting money from tzedakah. Asei Shabbat Chachol, you should make your Shabbos like a weekday. Val Tetzayach Lebrios. The Tur writes in some Reish Membeis, it's fascinating. He says, Kama pa'amim nasasi v'nasati bedavar lefnei Adoni Avizal. He says, this is one of the Shailas Halacha L'maisa that I used to always ask my father. The Torah says, he used to always ask the Rush, his father, about this. Kamoni hayom sheishli ma'at mishali ve'eno maspikli v'tzarech anila acherim. The Torah apparently was very poor. He said, someone in my situation today who has a little bit of food, but I really need help from other people. Imani b'chal asei Shabbat Chachol. When do I hit that point where I should say, stop splitting up my food into three portions, and rather just say, I say Shabbat Chachol, or don't bother going asking people for tzedakah, and making my Shabbos like a weekday. V'lo yishivani davar barer, and the Torah says, my father never gave me a clear answer of what I'm supposed to do, what the exact gedder is of where I hit that point. But this is something that he struggled with, apparently, on a personal level. Halacha l'maisa. V'hadat nan, ein pochsin ma'ani, ha'over makal makal, mikikar pundiyar midal sin b'sela, la nos la parnasos lina. The Mishnah says that when you have an ani that passes through town, when kikar is worth a pundion, when dalet se'in is worth a sela, you give him a kikar worth a pundion when dalet se'in is worth a sela, and then you give him parnasas lina, you give him what he needs to sleep over. Vim Shabbos, no snomas and gimel sudos. And if it's Shabbos, give him 3 meals worth. Lema rabban evil rabbi chitka, that sounds like the rabbanan, that there's a mitzvah of 3 meals on Shabbos, not 4 meals on Shabbos. Says, well, the olam rabbi chitka, no, maybe it's really going like rabbi chitka. The guy has 1 meal on him. So in addition to the 1 meal he has on him, we provide him with 3 more meals. We tell him that which you have with you, you should eat that. But wait a second, if he has 1 meal that he's carrying with him, and we make him eat that meal, and then we provide him with 2 more meals, with 3 more meals for Shabbos, so he can have his 4 Shabbos meals, so we're going to leave him, let him go empty-handed? So no, then we give him an additional meal when he leaves. We're malave him with another meal. My parnasa, Lina. What does it mean that we give him parnasas lina? So Amrav Papa Puria Beisadia. It means you give him a pillow and a bed. You give him a place to sleep. The utensils that you use to eat with on Friday night, you can rinse them out, you can wash the dishes so that you'll be able to use them on Shabbos morning. It's not a violation of Hachana because you're preparing them for that very day, for Shabbos itself. If the utensils used for your Shabbos morning meal, you can wash them out so you can have them for Shalosh Shuvos. But if you use them in the afternoon, you can wash them out still for mincha time. Once it's not practical anymore that you're going to be using those kelim, then you shouldn't be rinsing out those kelim anymore. That's when it comes to plates. Aval kosos v'kitonios v'tzlochios madiach v'lekol yom kulo l'fishen kevel ishtia. Any kelim that you need for drinking, though, you can always wash out because people are never done drinking. People are always going to drink a little more. They're always going to take another drink. There's no keva for that, and therefore you can always be washing out the drinking glasses. And you don't have to worry, oh, what if we don't use it? Not what if we don't. There's a good chance you will, and therefore you're allowed to wash it out. You don't have to worry what happens if you don't. Amrav Shimon ben Pazi, Amrav Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara. Kol ha'makayim sholos sudah b'Shabbos nitzal mishalosh pranios. Anyone who's mekayim the 3 sudos of Shabbos is saved from 3 peronios. Now, kol mekayim, anyone who's mekayim, women are also chayv in shalosh shudas. That's for some reason it seems like something that a lot of people don't realize. But and it's not new. For centuries already, people have not realized this, haven't been so careful about this. Rav Shlomo Kluger tries to explain why it is that women are not makpid in shalosh shudas. There's a ran in Masechta Shabbos quotes machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and himself why it is that women are chayiv in shalosh shudas. Are they chayiv in shalosh shudas because of vafein hoi bosa nes? Shalosh shudas relates to the man, and they were also included in the nes of the man, so they have their chayiv in shalosh shudas. Or are they chayiv in shalosh shudas because sheyeshno b'shamer yeshno b'zachar? Anyone who's chayiv in the los haseis of Shabbos is also chayiv in the mitzvah sasei of Shabbos, and the mitzvah sasei of Shabbos include not just kiddush and avdallah, but shalosh shudas as well. Those are the 2 possibilities of why women are chayiv in shalosh shudas. So Rav Shlomo Kluger says, see from the fact that there are 2 shittos in Rishonim, that some Rishonim reject the possibility of Afein Hayibos Anes, and you see that other Rishonim reject the possibility that Kol Sheyesh B'Shamer Yesh B'Zachar, so maybe the minhag of women nowadays is to reject both possibilities and to say that there's nothing that's Mechayev them. So Avad Yosef points out that that's a joke to say something like that. It's ridiculous. Meaning every single Rishon says that they're Chayev in Shalosh Shudas. So you're going to come up and say, oh, but because it's Machlok Rishonim, why? That none of the reasons are valid and that they're really Pater? No, of course they're really chayiv in shalosh shudas. It's just a question of why they're chayiv in shalosh shudas. Now there is reason to reject each possibility. Kol sheyeshno b'shamer yeshno b'zachar may be only about the mitzvah of zechiras Shabbos. Shalosh shudas is not really zechir; it's a mitzvah sasei of Shabbos. But zechiras Shabbos is defined by the Rambam as kiddush and avdallah and nothing else. There's a reason to say that maybe afein hayibos anes shouldn't apply to shalosh shudas. If you hold that the 3 meals on Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa, which is a machlokas also in the Rishon. Primogadim says that hayom, hayom, hayom is just an asmachta, it's all drabana. But if you hold that it's daoraisa, like the Arzarua says explicitly, that it's a mitzvah daoraisa to have 3 meals on Shabbos, we never find afein hayibos anes on the mitzvah daoraisa. We find afein hayibos anes on Chanukah, on Megillah, on Dalet Kosos. Those are the only 3 examples in Shas. We never find it on the mitzvah daoraisa. So Bali Atosos point out in several places it could be that it doesn't apply to mitzvah daoraisa. So there is reason. reason to reject each possibility. But still, all the Rishonim agree that women are chayavos in Shalosh Shudas. But anyway, so anyone who's mekayim Shalosh Shudas is saved from three peronios. Number one, mechavlo shal Mashiach. Obviously, by the way, just to point out, we're all chayv in Shalosh Shudas. It doesn't mean that a person should be glutton and should be stuffing his. Everyone's like, how could I do it? I can't. So chacham ein of barosha, when you eat your Shabbos day meal, it doesn't mean that you need to have five pieces of every kugel, and you could maybe realize that there's going to be another meal later on, and if you're going to have a little bit of hamotzi later on, so then a person should control himself earlier, enjoy yourself, have a little bit of everything, but a little bit of everything, so that you'll be able to enjoy Shalosh Shudas later on. So the three paranis that he saved from is Mechevlo Shal Mashiach, Medina Shal Gehenim, from the pangs of Mashiach, from the din of Gehenim, and Milchemes Gog U'Magog, three pretty significant points of suffering that one could be saved from. Mechevlo Shal Mashiach, Ksiv Hach, that says Yom, Ksiv Hasa Minei Anochi Shalech Lechemes Eliyahu Navi, Lifnei Bo Yom. Eliyahu Navi comes the day before Mashiach comes. He comes to herald the coming of Mashiach. So the Yom is referring to the day of Mashiach. Medina shel Gehenim, ksiv hacha yom, ksiv hasam, yom evra hayom ahu. That's referring to Gehenim. Mimelchemes Gog u'Magog, ksiv hacha yom, ksiv hasam, b'yom b'gog. So in all these contexts, we have the word yom, and we know yom is a magical word when it comes to Shalosh Shudas. So you see that Shalosh Shudas protects you from these three forms of suffering. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, kol ha'anigas Shabbos nosel nachla b'li mitzarim. Anyone who enjoys Shabbos properly is going to receive an inheritance without any borders. Shenemar, Oz Tisanik al Hashem vir Kavticha al Bamasei Aretz veChalticha Nachlas Yaakov Avicha. Lo Kavram, it says, what are you going to get? Nachlas Yaakov Avicha, not Nachlas Avraham. Shekasuv Bo, it says by Avraham Avinu, Kum Esalich Beretz LaOrcha Ularachba, that you should go along the length and the width of the land. Velo Ki Yitzchak, and not like the Nachla of Yitzchak. Shekasuv Bo Ki Lechol Uzarcha Etenis Kol Aratzos El Ella Ki Yaakov, that we're going to get the Nachla of Yaakov. Why? What does it say by Yaakov? Shekasuvo Paratz the Yom of a Kedem of a Tzafon of a Negba, that you'll break forth in all the different directions, meaning there are no Mitzarim, there are no boundaries to the Nachla of Yaakov. It goes all over. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Nitzol Mishibud Golios, that someone who is Ma'anig Shabbos properly is going to be saved from Shibud Golios. Ksiv Hacha Vir Kavtich Al Bamasei Aretz, Ksiv Hasam Ata Al Bamasei Mo Tidroch. Amar Vidam Rav, Kol Ma'anig Asa Shabbos Nosen Lo Mishalos Libo. Anyone who enjoys Shabbos properly is going to, his heart's desires are going to be fulfilled. Shenemar v'yis'aneg al Hashem v'yitin l'cha mishalos libecha. Oneg ze in yodei mahu. So now that we said all this great stuff for someone who's ma'aneg Shabbos, you get all these wonderful things, but what is the definition of oneg Shabbos? How do we define what exactly is called oneg Shabbos? So k'shomer v'kras l'cha Shabbos, meaning, I'm sorry, it says v'yis'aneg al Hashem, and then you'll get mishalos libo. So what does v'yis'aneg al Hashem mean? What does that mean? What kind of oneg is al Hashem? So k'shomer v'kras l'cha Shabbos oneg, haviyomer ze oneg Shabbos. So when we see that there's a pasuk that says v'kras l'cha Shabbos oneg, so the Misaneg Al Hashem must be referring to the mitzvah of Oneg, which is the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. As we've pointed out in the past, there are two mitzvahs midivrei Torah, two mitzvahs midal Raisa of Shabbos, and that is Shmira Shabbos and Zechira Shabbos, and then there are two mitzvahs midivrei Kabbalah of Shabbos, and that's from that same pasuk in Yeshayahu of Kavod Shabbos and of Oneg Shabbos. V'chibadito me'asos rechavcha v'mtzochavtzecha is in the same pasuk of across the Shabbos Oneg. So we have a din of Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, midivrei Kabbalah. Bame ma'ango, how does one ma'aneg Shabbos? What should you do? Rabbi Yehuda b'Reder of Shmuel b'Ashilus Mishmei the Rav Amar, v'tavshel shotradim v'dagim gedolim v'rashi shumin, suggests different delicious foods. You should have these dishes that are very excellent dishes, very enjoyed dishes, so that's what you should have for Oneg Shabbos. Rabbi Chiya b'Rashi Amar Rav, I think the Marshal says that because of the concept of Kavod Yom, Kavod Laila, that Kavod Yom is Adat, that he would never have fish on Friday night, that he would only have fish on Shabbos day, because he wanted to save the best food for Shabbos day. Our minig is not that way, I guess, because we have better foods. We have meat and we have other things that we save for Shabbos day. And many of the minig that they dafka have fish at every Shabbos meal to show that they want to be ma'anig the Shabbos in at all the meals. But I think the Marshal has like that dafka you wouldn't have fish on Friday night to show that Kavod Yom is adif. Reb Chiya b'Rashi Amar Rav, afilu davar mortal Kavod Shabbos haso harezah onik. You don't have to get fancy. It doesn't have to be a fancy Shabbos. Even something small, if you just do it the Kavod Shabbos. You just have something a little bit different. That's L'Kavod Shabbos. That's called Onek Shabbos. So Mayhi. What's an example of something small? Like kasadarsana, a certain kind of dip that they would have of small fish that were fried in, not a dip, a certain dish that was small fish fried in oil together with flour. So this small breaded fried fish that they would have, that's enough for Onek Shabbos. Amru Kheba Rabba Amru Biyachon, Kolam Hashamr Shabbos Kilchaso, Afilu Ovid Avodzar Kedar Eno Shmochlumo. Anyone who observes Shabbos Kilchaso, observes Shabbos properly, even if they do Avodzar like the generation of Enosh, is going to get a mechila. Now the Maariz Chayis points out over here, this must be the source for the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam has a fascinating description of the very beginning of the first Perek of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, of the history of Avodah Zarah, how Avodah Zarah started, and he takes you all the way to Avram Avinu, how Avram Avinu's eyes were opened, that he recognized that there was a, and how when he was younger he just did what his parents did, and he was also a bit of Avodah Zarah, which is a startling thing to hear about Avram Avinu, but he was probably a good boy as a child, so if his parents went to church, he went to church with them, until he realized, he opened up his eyes, and he realized that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. But in part of that description, the Rambam describes how Avodah Zarah started in the generation of Enosh. So where does he get that from? How does he know that Enosh was a generation of Avodah Zarah? So, and the Rambam writes, Enosh Atzmo Minatoim Hava, that he himself was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says. Where does he get it from? Says Maariz Chayis, he gets it from here. Why would we attribute Avodah Zarah Kidor Enosh, like the generation, meaning they're the founders of the whole concept of Avodah Zarah. That's what it means. Even if you're someone who makes a difference in the world of Avodah Zarah, you're a trailblazer in the world of Avodah Zarah, still Mochlono, you'll get a Mechila. Shnemar Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zos Mechalolo. Al Tikri Mechalolo Ella Mechalolo. Don't read it Mechalolo, but Mechalolo, that will get a Mechila. The Taz writes in some Reish Membeis that we're talking about, obviously the guy did Tshuva. The only thing is, Tshuva doesn't really help for Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says in the Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, person violates Krisos and Misas based in Tshuva Tola Umisa Mimarekes. The Tshuva just gets him, buys him some time, but he doesn't get his Kapara until he has Misa. So what our Gemara is adding is that if you're careful about Shabbos, if you're Shomer Shabbos Kilchaso, together with Tshuva, you don't need to wait for Misa to be Mimarekes. Even for the Shabbos itself, together with the Tshuva, will clear a person of the Avera. Had the Jewish people observed that very first Shabbos, then no other nation would have any control over us, would have any power over us. Right after we violate our first Shabbos, Amalek comes. Amar Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yechai, Il Mali Misham Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Kilchasan Miyad Negalim. If Klal Yisrael would observe two Shabbosos properly, so right away we'd have a Geula. We'd experience Geula. So why Dafka two Shabbosos? So it's unclear. I'm not sure exactly why two Shabbosos, but I saw once, I think in Bar Yosef, where he says that it's two elements of Shabbos that we're talking about. That we're talking about the Zechira Shabbos and the Shmira Shabbos. That both elements of Shabbos, both the losases of Shabbos, the don'ts of Shabbos, as well as the do's of Shabbos, meaning both the refrains of Shabbos, as well as the experience of Shabbos, if we could put both of those together in a single Shabbos, that's the Shtei Shabbosos, then right away we'd be Nigal. I think Bar Yosef has a vart like that. But generally, it's accepted to mean two consecutive Shabbosos. Shnemar, Ko Hashem, Ko Amar Hashem L'Sarisa, Masher Yishmur Shabbososai, Uksiv Basrei, Vaviosum Al Harakachi, that if we're Shomer Shabbososai, the multiple Shabbosos, then Vaviosum Al Harakachi, we're going to have a Geula. Amr Rabbi Yossi, Yehechalki Me'ochli Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos. Now we begin the Yehechalkis. That Rabbi Yossi says, my portion should be together with those who eat three meals on Shabbos. Tosos Maseches Bechoros of Dav Bezon Bez says, whenever you have this concept, this statement of Yehechalki, that my portion should be, or Tesi Li, I should get credit because I do this, it's always the lashon of something that's a chumrah, something that people are not generally mekayim. So what does that mean? That Yehechalki Me'ochli Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos. That's a mitzvah. Everyone has to eat three meals on Shabbos. So what's the Yehei Chalki over here? So Tosfos points out, you see that people people weren't so makbid about it. Meaning, even it doesn't necessarily mean it's something that's not required. It means something that most people don't do. So what he's saying is that Yehichelki, I'm amongst those who actually does it, who actually observes this mitzvah properly, even though it's a largely ignored kind of mitzvah. He says, my chelik should be with those who finish halal every day. What do you mean you can't say halal every day? If a person is kari halal b'chol yom, he's considered a mechari from a gadev to be kari halal b'chol yom. You have to recognize nisim as nisim and say halal for them, not to say halal every single day. That's the whole reason why there's a whole tumult about saying halal, let's say on Yom Ha'atzmaut or something like that. What do you have to lose? Just say, you're praising Hashem, you never have what to lose. No, there is what to lose. Someone who says halal b'chol yom is a mechari from a gadev, so there is some tension over there of what you have to. It's a psak halacha. You have to really figure out what warrants saying halal, what doesn't warrant saying halal. So kikamrin b'psukei dezimra. No, when he said that he's gomer halal b'chol yom, he's talking about the halals of psukei dezimra. My portion should be with those who daven kivasikin. It's a mitzvah to daven with the first rays of sun. I want to be amongst those who die with stomach illness. Most tzaddikim die of stomach ailments, says Tosfos. Pirush b'kuntros l'marik avonosehem, because it's extremely painful and they're suffering yisurin in this world, so that by the time they get to the olam ha'emes, there won't be any averos left. They already have gotten a kapara for all of their averos. That when they leave this world, if they had a stomach ailment, their stomachs will be completely empty of any waste product, and they're going to be like Malachi Asharis. Their bodies are going to be physically pure, like Malachi Asharis, with no impurities whatsoever when they leave this world. That's why tzaddikim die b'chol yomayim. Two possibilities. B'derech mitzvah. He says, I want to be amongst those who die b'derech mitzvah. I always want to be like those who bring Shabbos in Tveria, and those who are motzi Shabbos in Tzipori. It's a question whether these were communities that simply had a practice of starting Shabbos early and ending Shabbos late, stam as a chumra, or like Rashi says over here, no, it depended on their elevation, whether they were in a valley or on a mountaintop, so they may have had to start Shabbos earlier and Shabbos later, based on where they were, based on their positioning with the sun. I want to be amongst those who usher people into the Beis HaMedrash, not amongst those who ushers people out of the Beis HaMedrash. I'd like to be one of the Gabayit Tzedakah, but not amongst those who have to actually divide the Tzedakah money and decide who to give to and who not to give to. I want to be amongst those who they are choshed for certain things that he is not really guilty of. Rav Papa says, yeah, I have that all the time. They're always choshed me for things that I don't do. Rav Yossi says, I was boel 5 be'ilos in my life, and with those 5 be'ilos, I impregnated my wife 5 times, and all 5 of our children are amazing, great cedars of Israel. They're phenomenal people, gedolim of Eretz Yisrael. Uman inun, who are these gedolim Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael? So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilis, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi. So these are the 5 gedolim from 5 be'ilos. So frankly, Gemara, but wait a second, he had a 6th kid. Nebuch, from that 6th kid, right? He praises the other 5. Vika Vardimas, what about Vardimas? So no, Hainu Vardimas, Hainu Menachem, that's the 5th kid. Vardimas is Menachem. It's the same one. Vamai Karile Vardimas, why does he call him Vardimas? Shepan of Domin Leveret. He's called Vardimas because his face was beautiful like a rose. Lememer Rabbi Yossi mitzvah son Elokim says Gemara, something's funny about this story. Rabbi Yossi was only boel chamish be'ilos, and that's aser. If he was married, he had mitzvah sona. He can't only be boel chamish be'ilos. Whatever happened to his mitzvah sona? Ela'ema chamish be'ilos ba'alti v'shanisi. No, what he meant to say is that 5 times he was boel v'shona. He had a double bia, and from the bia a second time, these children came out. He says, in all my life, I never called my wife my wife, and I never called my ox my ox. Elul ishti besi ulishori sadai. I would call my wife my bias, and I would call my ox my field, because the ikker of the entire bias is the wife, and the ikker of the entire field is the shor. So one of the achronim in the back of the Gemara says that the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, Yesh lo remez mevur b'torah ki b'dibros rishonos hiktim bayis le'isha. In the first Aseres Dibros, it says bayis before isha, and in the Achronos, it says isha before bayis. And we know that Rashi tells us that sometimes Moshe is before Aaron, sometimes Aaron is before Moshe, lomer sheshkulin hay, to say that they're equated with each other in some way. So over here also, bayis and isha, one is sometimes first, the other one is sometimes first, to show shkulin hay, that they're equated with each other. That's why he doesn't call is Isha Isha, he calls Isha Bias. Amar Yossi, mi yama lo nistakalti b'mila sheli, says, I never looked at my bris mila. Eini v'amar le'le Rebbe, my time akar lach Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but wait a second, wasn't this Rebbe's practice that got him called Rabbeinu HaKadosh? They said to him, why do they call you Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Amar lehu, mi yama lo nistakalti b'mila sheli, it's because I never looked at my bris mila, so isn't that Rebbe's great practice that made him so great? So now you're telling me Rabbi Yossi did it too? So b'Rebbe milsa achrita av b'shalom hichnas yad l'tachas av neto. Rebbe had another additional chumra that he wouldn't put his hand underneath his avnit in that part of his body. He says the walls of my house never saw the stitching of my shirt. He was very tsanua when he would change his clothing. I would never violate the words of my colleagues. For example, I know that I'm not a kohen, but if they tell me to go duchan, I'll go do it anyway. And so Tosfos points out, the Rish says he doesn't know if there's any isra for a zar to go duchan. Maybe it's brach levatala because the mitzvah of being mevarich klal Yisrael is only on the kohanim. It could also be a bittul mitzvah for the Yisrael, that it could be that the Yisrael does have a role in the duchaning, that there needs to be Yisrael there to receive the bracha. Whenever a kohen can't do the mitzvah unless there's a Yisrael there, so it becomes our problem also, becomes our mitzvah also. So maybe that would be the issue. Okay, there are more statements of Rabbi Yossi, but we'll pick up with that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.